Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast, and today we will be reading Job 27 and 28. Father, as I come to your word, I pray for your Spirit's help in understanding what this passage means, what it's about, and also what I'm supposed to do with it. And I trust you in this, in Jesus' name, amen. Job 27. And Job continued his discourse, "As surely as God lives, who has denied me justice, the Almighty, who has made my life bitter, as long as I have life within me, the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not say anything wicked, and my tongue will not utter lies. I will never admit you are in the right. Till I die, I will not deny my integrity. I will maintain my innocence and never let go of it. My conscience will not reproach me as long as I live. May my enemy be like the wicked, my adversary like the unjust. For what hope have the godless when they are cut off, when God takes away their life? Does God listen to their cry when distress comes upon them? Will they find delight in the Almighty? Will they call on God at all times? I will teach you about the power of God, the ways of the Almighty I will not conceal. You have all seen this yourselves. Why then this meaningless talk?" Pause there for a moment. At verse 12, Job has been in these conversations with his friends. These friends who at first came to comfort him in all of his pain and all of his loss. And then it turned pretty quickly to accusations against Job that there's no way, in their opinions, based on what they know about God, that Job's okay with God. Otherwise, all these terrible things would not have happened to him. He would not be in this pain. And Job is wrestling through this and talking to them about his integrity, what he knows to be true, what he knows about God, and is wrestling with this himself. Verse 13, "Here is the fate God allots to the wicked, the heritage a ruthless man receives from the Almighty. However many his children, their fate is the sword. His offspring will never have enough to eat. The plague will bury those who survive him, and their widows will not weep for them. Though he heaps up silver like dust and clothes like piles of clay, what he lays up the righteous will wear, and the innocent will divide his silver. The house he builds is like a moth's cocoon, like a hut made by a watchman. He lies down wealthy, but will do so no more. When he opens his eyes, all is gone. Terrors overtake him like a flood. A tempest snatches him away in the night. The east wind carries him off and he is gone. It sweeps him out of his place. It hurls itself against him without mercy as he flees headlong from its power. It claps its hands in derision and hisses him out of his place." End of chapter 27. So Job is talking about what he knows to be the fate of the wicked. Again, this is poetic literature, like the Proverbs and other poetic literature. These are not adamant statements that always work out this way. But his understanding is that those who have a lot, those who oppose God, don't have what they really think they have. And in a moment, it will be gone and it will go to those who are pleasing God. So he continues to wrestle with what he knows to be true about God, what he knows to be true about himself, what his friends are saying against him. Chapter 28. "There is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Mortals put an end to the darkness. They search out the farthest recesses for ore in the blackest darkness. Far from human dwellings, they cut a shaft in places untouched by human feet. Far from other people, they dangle and sway. The earth from which food comes is transformed below as by fire. Lapis lazuli comes from its rocks and its dust contains nuggets of gold. No bird of prey knows that hidden path. No falcon's eye has seen it. Proud beasts do not set foot on it, and no lion prowls there. People assault the flinty rock with their hands and lay bare the roots of the mountains. They tunnel through the rock. Their eyes see all its treasures. They search the sources of the rivers and bring hidden things to light." But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? No mortal comprehends its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. The sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed out in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, with precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for the jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds in the sky. Destruction and death say, only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells, for he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. That's the end of chapter 28. So here in chapter 28, there's somewhat of an interlude with his defense against the accusations of his friends. And he builds up to these things that are found and mined and some of the precious jewels that are out there. But then in verse 12, he asks, but where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? I mean, that's a pretty key thing for him, because as his friends accuse him, as he listens and wrestles with these things about his life and where God fits into this, he's asking for wisdom, and he's asking where can it be found. And so he then goes through this this writing about these places like the sea, who says, well, it's not here. And it can't be found where some of these other precious jewels can be found. And it cannot be bought with all of these things. So verse 20, where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? The question's asked again. Verse 23, God understands the way to it. He alone knows where it dwells. And then he goes to his creation. He's the one that created everything. So he definitely knows where wisdom is found. And just like Proverbs does a few times, here in Job, verse 28, chapter 28, and he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. And that's what my takeaway is today. We are not doing an in-depth Bible study here. This is a devotional reading, so I'm really just praying for God to open my eyes to see what I'm supposed to see and to apply what I'm supposed to apply, still within the context of all of Scripture. And this idea of when I am lost, when I am hurting, when I am hearing accusations from others, when I'm hearing what other people are saying about why things are happening in the world, I need wisdom. I've got to have wisdom. And although it's great to read and study and ask other people, maybe some of it's even found on the internet, I don't know. But God says, hey, I've created everything. I know what wisdom is. And here is where you find wisdom. You find it in me. You fear me. You follow me. You obey me. And today, that is my takeaway. So read through these passages. Consider what God is saying to you and apply it to your life today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Job, who, as you said to Satan, even, no one was more righteous than him following you, and everything was taken away. You allowed Satan to take everything away and to bring him intense pain. And then you even allowed his three friends to turn against him and to use scripture or knowledge of you to to say things against him. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray for myself. Father, I want to fear you today. When I start to think of how I fear other things, other people, other people's perceptions of me, Father, I want to fear you, to honor and obey, to respect and love, to follow your word. Help me to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.